Give me more big germ commentary. Jeremy Colling is cringeworthy. I like the way Nate Doss breaks down each drive. I can't stand to listen to Nate Doss. Ian is so cool and chill with his commentary. Why is Ian so boring? Disc golf commentators, we love them, we hate them. Why? Why? Why do we hate on disc golf commentators so much? Cody Wingett from Team Clash Disc joins me to discuss his thoughts on why we hate on disc golf commentators. I remember back when Tony Romo started commentating, and I thought he did a great job analyzing plays, and at times he would literally telegraph plays, and it was like, well, he should know. He was a quarterback, and so his need to know everything going on in the on the field is paramount, and so it would make sense for him to be able to predict plays and say, hey, watch this play. And then I remember thinking, I like this. I mean, I like watching football, but I'm not a big sports nut where I know everything about football and plays and stuff like that, but I enjoy watching it. So I appreciated him educating me on what possibly the players were thinking. And then I remember people, like the first couple times he did commentary, like on Twitter, people just hating on him. And I'm like, what the heck? And then there's another guy, Joe Buck, who's like the fourth highest paid sports announcer. At least he was a couple of years ago. And I remember reading the same thing. I'm thinking, okay, fourth highest paid. He must know what he's doing. People must like him. No, I've talked to people and they say, I hate Joe Buck. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He doesn't know how to commentate. And I'm like, such a weird thing. But then to see it in disc golf has been crazy. Just, you're watching the YouTube coverage by Jomez or whoever, and you'll just see comments of, I hate so-and-so's commentary. And I had reached out to our ambassadors and said, hey, what's a topic you guys would like to talk about on the podcast? And you said something about give the commentators a break. So unpack that for us. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the tried and true saying, you know, walk a mile in another person's shoes. And, you know, you go, and I've done it myself, stepping into the commentary role for some local coverage around our area. And it's not easy to jump in there and be eloquent and, you know, be spot on with every word that you throw out there. So it is hard to jump into those roles. But, you know, you see, like you were mentioning, some of the broadcasters, things like that, you know, everybody has their own taste, and I get that. You know, some people have a better voice. Like, you know, I'm sure that Joe Buck might not be an expert on everything, you know, in baseball or football and these different, you know, media outlets that he broadcasts. But, you know, he has that voice, the distinctive voice that can, you know, carry interest in somebody. And, you know, I think that goes a long way. But then, you know, you have some of these analysts and stuff like that that just know the game inside and out. They used to be players, and they can speak very eloquently about the game, you know, whatever, you know, if that's disc golf or, you know, another sport. So, you know, I get, you know, it's not everybody's cup of tea for a specific announcer, but, you know, at the same time, you know, it's not easy stepping into that booth and being able to rattle off information for, you know, even if it's just post-produced and it's only a half hour coverage or 45 minutes, but you know, some of these guys are doing it for 4, 6, 8 hours a day. You know, it's a lot to keep up coming up with a, you know, fresh perspective on every shot.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I posted on the Disc Golf Answer Man Facebook group. You can find that on, obviously, Facebook, and join if you want to join in some of our conversations. But I actually just said, literally, why are people so picky about commentators? And then I put in parentheses, in any sport. And it's already, in less than an hour, it's at 48 comments. And so that's people want to give their opinion on it. And then we got stuff like, because some people are just boring and corny. We don't want to hear 80s jokes or 80s commentary. Most of the time we mute it or do our own. And I'm thinking, yeah, I get what you're saying. It's corny, but what do you... But then again, like I said, you have someone that loves that. And another one that I see a lot about is Nate Doss. Poor guy. I know Nate Doss, and he's a great guy. But what is it? Someone said... I mean, literally, when Nate Doss just sits and spews BS and negativity in your ear for 3 straight hours, it gets really old. I mean, my gosh, that's intense. And then someone says, bless his heart, I wish him the best life, but he needs to stop. But then I get other people that say they enjoy Nate's commentary. So it feels like people's opinions on commentary or commentators is going to be just as different as their opinions on the best chili. I know that's a weird analogy, but it's like you're going to find some people that like spicy chili, some people that like sweet chili, some people that like more meaty chili, whatever, more whatever. So it's just crazy that people feel the need to just get on and push their opinion, especially on YouTube. When they
that's where we're at in the modern day society of people pressing issues on social media and people want their voice to be heard, you know, much as the announcer on the broadcast, you know, letting everybody know their opinions, you know. So I just think that's the age that we live in, and is where social media is everybody's chance to get their voice heard. So, you know, I'm sure it's incredibly frustrating for, you know, different broadcasters and whatnot to, you know, see negative comments, but hopefully none of them take it to heart too much. And you know, I saw that post that Terry Miller made, and you know, a couple days ago or whatever it was, that it's not easy, you know. So yeah. and you know, Terry's been doing it longer than pretty much anybody, so I think that he takes the good and the bad and doesn't hold too much accountability for the people, you know, hanging them out to dry.
So what do you think, in your opinion, what makes a good commentator?
You know, someone that's a student of the game, about how discs fly and little, you know, tidbits of knowledge. I find that interesting. You know, I played disc golf. I think this is my 13th year, and I think it was like a year or two ago. Philo was, I forget which coverage it was for, but Philo made a comment about, you know, whenever you're putting in a specific wind, to try, you know, putting a little Annie on a disc when you're putting into a headwind. And I was like, Annie into a headwind? And I was like, and I went out to the practice basket and on a windy day tried it out, and I was like, wow, this is unbelievable, you know. And I've been playing disc golf for so long, and you know, kind of changed my mentality for putting, and I wouldn't have got that tip any other how, other than watching the coverage and hearing, you know, a professional describe a situation that a player was in. And I found it completely insightful, and I like those little tidbits. But you know, you don't also want a monotone voice that you're gonna you know, end up drowning out. And so you know, I kind of like high action, informative detail, but not too monotone a voice, I guess.
Yeah, I definitely like the ones that teach me something. It's like, teach me something I don't know. I'm expecting you to be the expert. I would definitely say it has been my experience in the, over the years, and I'm thinking like 3 or 4 years ago, I don't know if I should say this, but like I remember being part of Dynamic Discs and in a conversation with some people that were doing some coverage, and they were going to basically bring on former world champions. And my immediate thought was, yes, I can appreciate their expertise in the area, but the fact that you simply the fact that you were a player and you did really well doesn't make you a good commentator. Right. But I do appreciate the fact that when a commentator has knowledge and can teach me something about what I'm watching, I think that's great. You said something about monotone. A lot of people are talking about the PGA, where they feel like the PGA is monotone and there's not much life to it. Like, how much personality should come across? I was reading some articles where some people were saying that personality shouldn't be part of their commentary. They just basically, you either analyzing the game, giving us play-by-play, or just giving us some, you know, facts about what we're watching. How much of the personality should come through?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the big distinction between golf and disc golf, is that, you know, golf is more your buttoned up professional, type of announcer, where you expect everything to be professional, like calm, smooth delivered, speech. Where, you know, as disc golf, I think, you know, you look at the clothes that people wear and, you know, it's just more fashionably loud. I think, you know, you have more, charisma and stuff between your players in the field. So I think that, you know, the excitement of a disc golf shot, you know, can be translated the same way that, you know, you see the way that players dress between the two sports and things like that. So, you know, I think that with our sport, you know, I would expect more flair, if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely more flair would be great.
Plus, I know, you know, it's way more exciting to watch a disc fly in the air than a ball fly in the air. So
I'll give you that. There is definitely more excitement there. But even like I'm looking at the comments on the post I made, and someone says bring back sexy big sexy commentary, and I was doing some research on Reddit, and I post after post said Big Germ is cringe worthy. And so again, difference of opinion. Some people love it. Now some people like the combination of Jeremy Colling and Nate Sexton. Some people like the combination of Big Germ and Yule. They don't like the combination. What are your thoughts on it was interesting when Yule became part of Big Sexy. Mm-hmm. And they had three, and then I remember back in the day when they were going to have four people. I think it was Jamie Thomas, Terry Miller, Nate Sexton, and Val Jenkins was going to be four people. At what point does it become too many? I've watched tennis matches where there's three commentators. How at what point is it too many people commentating on what's happening?
I mean, speaking from, you know, what I've seen, you know, from my own point of view of doing commentary, like, if there is a good system for letting the other announcers know that you're ready to speak, I think that you can achieve more broadcasters in the booth trying to talk. But, you know, whenever you have a lot of cooks in the kitchen and you don't have a defined way of, you know, letting everybody else know you're going to speak, you're going to be stepping on each other nonstop, and I think that hurts the broadcast in the long run, because, you know, too many people are trying to talk at the same time, and sometimes thoughts get lost because they get cut off and whatnot.
Yeah, that's true. All right, well, Cody, I appreciate you hopping on the call to give your opinion on commentary, and really, absolutely, I want to know people's, our listeners and the people that are viewing this video, I want to know your opinion in the comments. I want to hear from you. Tell me what it is you think makes a good commentator, and then tell me your favorite commentator, and we'll discuss that more in the comments below. So anyway, Cody,
who's your favorite commentator?
Who's
Bobby?
My favorite? Oh, that's great.
Put you on the spot.
I know, put me on the spot. people are going to like this. When Nate first started commentating, I actually liked his commentary. I liked the way he was analyzing. I have to admit, there are times where it does get a little annoying when a commentator, Nate does this quite a bit, when they say the obvious, mm-hmm. when they state obvious things that are happening. Now, I tried commentary back when I was producing disc golf DVDs. I hated it. Yeah. I only did it out of necessity because there were times when I just couldn't find somebody to do commentary, and I did not like it. But I used to like Nate's. Philo actually is really good too. Now, sometimes he can be a little too chill.
Yeah.
But the way he does break down a throw and what other people are doing, I think is awesome. So I would say those are the people that I really enjoy. But everybody else, I think I have a empathy for because I've been in their shoes. I've been into production, so I kind of have a little bit of more forgiveness. But there are times that I will yell at the screen because I'm telling them to shut up and just let the play happen. So,
right, right.
What about you? What's your favorite?
I think I'm pretty partial to Nate Sexton. I think that he has, you know, a little bit of comedic relief, you know, he can be informative, and you know, I don't think he tries to, you know, overanalyze things too much. But you know, he can always throw in a good opinion. So I like his commentary.
All right, cool. All right. Thanks again, Cody. And again, leave a comment below. Let us know your favorite commentator. Let us know. First of all, let us know what makes a good disc golf commentator, and then give me a list of who your favorites are and why. So appreciate it. Okay. Do you have an opinion on what I just talked about? Go to my podcast website, anchor.fm/DGAM. There's a button on there that says send a voice message. Let me know your thoughts. What do you think? Do you think I'm way off? Do you agree with me? Send me a voice message and let me know. If you only want to send it via email, if you just want to type it out, send an email to discgolfanswerman@gmail.com. I'm going to discuss your thoughts on future episodes. So let me know your thoughts.